Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Second hour here, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie Stanley. Nick Keyser producing, 2 days away from becoming a married man. And
still time to go to Mexico.
And as we do every Friday at this time, we welcome in our next guest, the host of the very popular Stillman and Company program, 2-6 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And a guy who, I mean, I don't know the last time he beat me in Jared versus Joe. Like, I don't know. Are we talking, has it happened in the calendar year 2024? I don't know. But anyway, it's Jared Stillman. Jared, how are you?
It's been probably about a month, Joe. I mean, I'm slumping. I need some help. What I need to do is what Floyd used to call the Sally rule, which is whatever I'm thinking, I just need to go with the opposite. And then that might give me a chance at Jared versus Joe.
Very Costanza-like.
Well, it's such a silly concept to have a judge who's not impartial. I'm surprised that you're winning. A non-impartial judge judging a sports debate.
It's, you think, like Caroline's not impartial?
Of course not. And it's like the dumb show on ESPN where they award points for things. And this is what Jared grew up in, the culture where, like, you have to win. You have to win. You have to win an argument. That's what Jared grew up in, and that's part of your problem, frankly.
I mean, wait a minute. I didn't grow up there. I grew up there in the PTI era where they didn't, you know, have to win arguments.
Well, PTI is excellent, but Around the Horn is terrible, and you probably watch both.
Okay, real quick. You just mentioned the Floyd's thing with Sally. What'd you call it? The Sally theory?
It's the Sally rule.
The Sally rule. Okay, someone asked me on the text line, Cody asked, do you all believe the right tackle theory by Stillman? What is that?
So you've never heard the right tackle
story? Oh, is this your thing, like when Floyd said they don't have a right tackle?
Yeah, before the 2015 season.
Okay, so, but what's the, I guess I just got thrown up by the theory.
I mean, I asked him, I barely knew the guy. I'd worked with him for like 3 days, and I hadn't been like working with him. This was before we did our first show. I was just trying to make small talk. I was like, Floyd, Titans going to be any good this year? He looked at me and goes, we don't have a right tackle. I was like, it's kind of a big deal, right? He's like, right tackle? You know, and so, like, right now I look at the Titans. I'm like, look, I know they went out and added a bunch of players. And, you know, Brian Callahan went on with Bussing with the Boys. And he told the boys, you know, that he's got, you know, expectations for this. Not going to give out predictions or anything, but that he feels good about this team and the additions they made. And, you know, the red meat for the fans to be like, yeah. Even though all the pundits and Vegas and everybody outside of Nashville thinks the Titans stink. And I mean, at the end of the day, I look at it, I'm like, they don't have a right tackle. So it's hard for me to get on board for this season.
Gotcha. So, all right, hold on. Yeah, you've gone through his tweets. Yeah. You put a lot of work into this. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I prepare.
Okay. All right.
So do you like the Bill Callahan hire?
Yes.
Okay. So, and And what in your opinion is a top position coach? What's his job?
The top position coach's job is to coach the players to play better than the average coach would be.
Okay, so like, what did you think of Baker Mayfield before last year?
I actually liked Baker. I thought he got a raw deal in Cleveland.
But what did you think of his production?
I thought that Baker was good, and I thought he got a raw deal.
All right. Well, you're foolish on that. I just want to bring some people to the table.
Like, I mean, I still think Sam Darnold's good. So if you want to go crazy on me on that, go on crazy on that.
All right. Well, those
man,
are
that's crazy.
Those
going
are foolish. Trey McBride, you know, I'm an Arizona receiver. He had 50 more catches last year than he had the year before. Jalen Johnson, a quarterback that we all discovered last year for Chicago. Passer ratings against him in his first 3 years, 107, 102, 95. Last year, 51. Maybe the best corner in the league. Deron Bland from Dallas. No interceptions for TDs in 2022. Last year, 5. Outstanding. Then you go to offensive linemen. Cushenberry in 2022 wasn't very good. Last year, he was terrific, and he got himself this giant contract. Kevin Dotson of the Rams got significantly better last year. Luke Gadecki of the Bucks got significantly better last year.
Is this your way of saying you think Petit Frere can get better?
Why in May are you eliminating the possibility that a position coach that you love could take out of a pool of right tackles a guy and get him to a place where he's the worst guy on a much improved line and a functional right tackle? Why in May is that impossible to you?
Because I don't think you can fudge it at right tackle. I think at some point there has to be a level of talent that you have to have, no matter who your coach is. Like, you can't put me at right tackle and say, all right,
well,
Bill Callahan,
that.
Right.
Coach him up.
Yeah, I
and
hate
that's
to break
what
it
the
to
Titans
you,
are dealing
but
with,
Nicholas
Paul.
Petit Frere is
he
significantly
stinks.
Better than
he
you.
He stinks, Paul. And not only that, he's unreliable.
Yeah. Okay, the unreliable part and the – you see, this is the thing. This is where
your ability to say a guy stinks at something that you don't really understand the intricacies of is remarkable. Bill Callahan has given a vote of confidence to those right tackles by them not bringing in, for example, the guy who you never said you were pushing for because
Jermaine
he's
Illuminor.
Your friend's guy.
That's
no,
not,
Pete.
No,
Pete. You were pushing Pete,
no.
Pete for months.
No, here's where you're wrong
he's
about
your
this.
Friend's
that,
client.
No.
You need
here's
to be
where
transparent
you're wrong about
on
this,
that.
Paul, is that when they made the move for J.C. Latham and they said we're going to flip him to left tackle? I said, well, now you're not going to get Pete because Pete's a left side of the line.
No,
player.
But before that, you were Pete. But you never
because
said
because they
the
needed
reason,
a left tackle.
But you never said the reason I want
even
Pete
though you think
is because he's
Bill
my friend's
Callahan
client.
Can take. I wanted Pete because he can play left tackle.
Pete played left tackle
Peter
for one
Skoronski's
season. He's a left guard.
The same guy. I'm on Peter Skoronski's ass every day when you guys make excuses about, well, he had an appendectomy, so it's okay that he sucked the whole
Dude,
season.
This is the funny thing you're saying. You want very much a tackle, and Andrus Pete is a left guard who played tackle for 1 year and had reasonable success. So you got to be honest at least.
So it's better than what you have on the entire offensive line because Petit Frere's had no.
You got to be intellectually honest.
But
here.
See,
the guy
I'm
completely
honest.
Of left guard, and you're pushing him as tackle
because he can play
because
tackle
he had 1 year.
So
because
Jared,
he's done it and he's been good at it, Paul.
Right, but see, so
you want to take players who suck like Jalen Duncan. Jalen Duncan's terrible, and you want to say, let's see if Jalen Duncan can go out there and be good. I
want to
take a guy who's actually had success in the NFL, and I'm like, let's put him there and see what happens.
I want to let a very good coach look at players who have played, A, 1 year in Duncan, and B, 1 year in 3 games at Petit Frere, give him time with players to judge and assess and mold and craft.
I
don't think that's unreasonable.
Right.
I'm
well,
not in
like
a panic.
You sound like a Titan Twitter fan. Is what
May.
You sound like right now? Who's like
no?
The right. same
like
guy,
guy
who went from "In J. Rob We Trust" to "He's the problem." That's what.
Yeah,
that's
but
the kind
no,
of guy.
Jared, you're a panicker.
No,
because it gets you ratings.
That's the kind
because
of
you
guy.
Go, oh my God, they don't have a right tackle in May.
They,
what are we gonna do?
They
Will
don't
Robinson's
have a right
already
tackle.
On his back.
They didn't have a right tackle in March. They didn't have a right tackle in February when Brian Callahan took the job. I sat down with him on the show the next day, and I told him the right tackle story. Because right tackle
sure
is
a fascinating story I'm that sure Floyd once said a team didn't have a right tackle.
And if this you think team this doesn't is have a right tackle.
A fascinating story, you're mistaken.
But, Jared, they're saying that they think they do. Here's the thing. I think the biggest thing you do, this is where.
That's not what they said.
Hold on, Jared. This is where you confuse me sometimes because you get very meticulous with some things, and which is great. Like, you find things people say. You study the league a lot. You have a lot of good informed commentary.
Thank you.
And then, like, you're just like, but Dave Fresh sucks!
He
and
does
like,
suck!
Jared, like, for example, you are pushing Dylan Raiden. I mean, look, I'm open to the possibility Petit Frere will be a problem this year, won't be good, but I'm open to the possibility that he'll be good. And the fact that you're closing that off like there's no way. Remember,
no one's ever gotten better in the league.
Exactly. So, that's a big blind spot you have is that people can't improve. So, and the thing, hold on, Jared, hold on. You are saying that Dylan Raiden's will beat him out and play more this year. We watched Dylan Raiden's and Petit Frere. Petit Frere's a rookie. Dylan Raiden's was the one right tackle. Petit Frere was the two. He pretty quickly overtook him. It was pretty clear Petit Frere was a much more talented player and a better option at right tackle as a rookie. We know what's happened since. I'm not saying Petit Frere is going to be great, but for you to say with the information we have, no way, he sucks, he stinks, they have no right tackle, that's just, I think it is intellectual dishonesty. I do.
Well, dishonesty is when you're saying what you don't think, and I think what I think.
Okay, it's bad analysis. How about that?
Let me hit you with another piece of bad analysis.
You can have that opinion. Hold on, wait a minute, Paul. I think you brought up this idea about, like, you know, well, we're not giving this guy a chance under Bill Callahan. Why didn't they give Andre Dillard a chance under Bill Callahan?
Because they know he's terrible.
Oh, right. So he's a certain terrible that is not allowed to get better.
Jared,
he's bad. We know he's bad.
Who's worse than Andre Dillard is allowed
Jared,
to get better.
Jared, there's intellectual dishonesty.
No,
Andre
I'm
Dillard played
the point
4 years in Philadelphia.
Will suck under Bill Callahan.
He played 4 years.
Even though Bill Callahan's a good coach.
You can't do math.
Well, that's
he
fine.
Played 4 years in Philadelphia. He's a 5-year veteran, not a 20-game veteran. Here's some more from you. I'm going to go through your Twitter.
Oh.
Burks is a backup, just like Weaver, Malik, and Avery, you said. Like
correct.
Weaver, yes. He's going to be part of a rotation that they'll need to play. Like Willis? No. Willis is never going to play, probably doesn't make the roster. Burks is in no way a backup like Malik. He is in no way a backup like Avery, who you hope never plays more than special teams. See the difference? Those are not the same level backups. Weaver needs to play. Burks is going to need to play. Malik needs to not be on the roster. Avery, if he makes the roster, needs to do nothing but play special teams. See how you're grouping together players that are not the same level of backup?
So I don't – how are they going to get Burks in there? They got one football. They got six guys they're going to throw it to before they throw
it. Dude, a guy runs a deep route. He's tired. He comes out. The next receiver comes in for at least a snap. That's how football works. We'll be back after these words.
So he's going to play one snap.
We'll be back after these words.
So that's Trey Avery's role,
all right.
Isn't it?
You want to stay for another one, Jared?
Sure.
Oh, you must.
Hold on, wait a minute.
I've got so much more.
Will you guys let me talk?
You're defeated.
Because every time you say something – and then I go
be
to
sure.
talk. It's like, shut up!
So
let me say
this. Shut up one time.
By the way, I want to respond to one other thing too. Because Joe, you said
do it on the other side.
Hold on,
we've got a break. We've got a break. We're running the show. It's our show. We got a break. Hold your breath.
All right,
we'll be back. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, which has become an episode of Stilly and Pauly, which, again, is my brainchild as a radio show. It is my
yeah,
dream.
Nobody could have thought of it.
I'm trying to imagine... Oh, I came up with the name for the show, okay? So before I let you two jackals start screaming
Stilly
at each other
Stilly and Pauly
again,
you came up with?
Yeah, there's a name for a show. Stilly and Pauly.
My God, it's genius.
Well,
who
it
else
is.
Could have come up with that?
Whatever, man. I copyrighted
Stilly,
it.
He's a genius.
I copyrighted it, and you will listen to me and be my employee.
Each time
that's
said,
first
he makes
on
money.
The billing.
He makes money, yeah.
Yeah, Stilly.
That won't last
it,
long.
It just works better
it
with
does.
Stilly
it does
first
work
in
better.
The billing.
Hey,
it just does.
Stilly, I've been told if you want your name either first or last. Is the way it goes. So we both win. I want to read you a tweet. I'll give you time to answer for it. But I'm going to read you the tweet.
So wait, you're not going to let Jared respond? Doesn't Jared have like a response?
Done. We were done.
We were done with that
I'm going to read
Twitter
you this
Paul.
Tweet.
I'm going Go ahead, Paul.
I'm going to read you this tweet. I'm going to comment on it, and then I'm going to give you a chance. All right. Here's what you wrote. It feels like the Titans really need to figure out what Will Levis is, a franchise quarterback, an okay starter, a backup, etc., before they move into the new stadium. Here are my thoughts. They move into the new stadium in 2027. So you're saying that by year five, they need to know about Levis. He's not even under contract in year five. I hate to break it to you. They're going to need to know about Will Levis a little sooner than before, a year after his contract's up. So you're on a little slower train than they need to be. This is a shock. You've already decided that Nick Petitfrère can't play, but you're giving Levis until a year after his contract's over for the Titans to have to decide about him. Your thoughts on this idiocy?
So I don't think that every quarterback, you know, that you know right away whether or not the guy's going to be a good quarterback or a franchise quarterback or a backup type quarterback. And I use Mariota as the example. I mean, they didn't know until year five whether or not Mariota was the guy, and they found out he wasn't. I think there are teams right now that have quarterbacks that don't necessarily know about their quarterbacks, and they're put in spots where it's like, gosh, we're going to have to pay this guy $50 million if he ends up being the guy or not. You know, you used Baker in the last segment as an example of a quarterback. They didn't know, and then they just decided, well, you know, we don't want to give him a big contract, so we're going to move off of him, and we're going to give Deshaun Watson the big contract, which has been an unmitigated disaster. But, I mean, just to say that, like, oh, they'll know because his contract's up, there's no guarantee that they'll know for sure what he is or what he isn't at that point. Because, again, that's why we play the actual football.
But they're going to have to decide something, Jared. He's not under contract. They can't decide in year five. He's not going to be under contract. They're going to have to make a contract decision.
Well, they can use a franchise tag.
Yeah, well, that's making contract decision. You're
But that's not the kind of contract decision that we're talking about.
Well, that's big money contract decision.
I mean, I hear what you're saying on Mariota, but, I mean, I think it started to go the wrong way in 17, and then I think by the time you got to – yeah, I mean, 18 was up and down. Then he's not able to play in the Colts game. By the time you got to year five, it was definitely trending away, right?
What about the Giants and Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones, now to use your phrase, which I use very rarely, sucks. That's established.
But he didn't when he had them in the divisional round of the playoffs, and they ended up giving him that contract extension. Because they didn't really know, and they wanted to franchise.
Right, so he's an example. Yeah, I mean,
but they stupidly, you know, did that thing where it's like whoever takes the deal gets the deal, and whoever doesn't gets tagged. And so they tagged Barkley when they probably should have just overpaid Barkley a little bit so that they didn't have to overpay Jones. But they did give Jones the contract, and this was a year after they declined the fifth-year option on Jones because they didn't believe in Jones. So they went from not believing in Jones to believing in Jones to not believing in Jones, and that happens at the quarterback position. I would say right now, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, are you certain you've got a franchise quarterback? And
absolutely.
He's been in the league for
absolutely
like,
not. These teams convince themselves they are. These guys were talking about it yesterday, and this is the problem with NFL quarterbacking. Everybody wants the next Mahomes. If your guy isn't the next Mahomes, you have to make a pay decision on Trevor Lawrence, on Tua Tagovailoa, on Kyler Murray. And there's no way to mid-pay a quarterback. Because of the franchise tag and the second-year franchise tag, which goes up a certain percentage, you've got to pay him like he's Patrick Mahomes, at least for 2 years, and that screws your whole thing up. And there's no way in year five and six to pay a guy as a middling guy and check him out. You have to pay him like royalty. And I think that's part of the NFL system that's broken.
What really ticks me off is that you guys are going to end up yelling at each other for a half hour. I can't even get you to, like, scream at him about his stupid "the cap is fake" garbage.
No, well,
that would be more productive than you know, spying on his tweets.
Well, here's one of his tweets. Everyone who makes a TV decision lives in New York, and so they think everyone cares about the Knicks. Do you know that ESPN is based in Bristol, Connecticut?
Do you know where their executives live?
Yeah, well, let me tell you a secret about I've been to Bristol, Connecticut several times.
Have I, Paul.
I used to work for them.
Wow,
you got there and you sat behind their Sports Center desk and got a picture taken.
They don't have a rule who says, "Hey, yeah, you know, you're allowed in Bristol, Connecticut. You're not." It's not like it's the most special place in the world either.
I've been there too, for the record. So yay!
And also, I would say this:
an employee versus a tourist is somewhat significant.
ESPN is not run the same way or by the same people that it was run by when you worked there.
Listen, I just want to tell you, it's close to Boston as well as New York. And if you think the coverage like last year of the Patriots, as the Patriots got bad isn't influenced by them being near Boston. If you think Red Sox coverage, if you think Bruins coverage isn't also influenced by where Bristol, Connecticut is,
they don't talk about hockey.
You're crazy. So I want to hear you, as the Celtics stuff gets churned up now, bitch about the Celtics the way you bitched about the Knicks. So let's stay true to that.
Well, here's what I would say about that.
And the Knicks were compelling. The Knicks are a likable team.
There's
a certain amount.
They did go overboard with the homerism, but
that's a different
story.
So put that on Stephen A. That's Stephen A, who's allowed to do whatever he wants. He doesn't answer to management.
So what they're going to do is they're going to talk about the two, you know, semifinals equally because they have them, but especially the Boston one because they have that on their, you know, channel. But I don't think that it's going to be like over the top, oh my God, they won't shut up talking about the Celtics. Whereas with ESPN, they went all in on the Knicks. If you watch that Game 7 broadcast,
it was a Knick home
game.
It was fantastic.
You know, the way they talked about it. And so what happens is everybody at ESPN thinks everybody cares about the Knicks because they care about the Knicks. But if you look across the country at the TV ratings, the Knicks do not have a Dallas Cowboys-like effect, a Kentucky basketball-like effect on the overall country. Like, people are not tuning in because it's the Knicks unless you live in New York. And I think, again, ESPN the other day, on Wednesday, 3 days after they've been eliminated, they had a segment of, do the Knicks have a roster good enough to win the championship? And it's like, guys, move on. Most of the country does not care about the Knicks.
It's still more about big market than their fandom. And guess who has a tiny market compared to the Knicks? The Pacers. So if you think that they're going to talk a lot about the Pacers, nobody cares. If you think nobody cares about the Knicks, check who cares about the Pacers.
You know, I muted Jared on Twitter, I think a couple years ago, that these tweets aren't – I mean, I expect a little bit more, like, just crazy stuff. I don't think –
Yeah, no, he's had a relatively mild week.
Yeah, kind of a chill week. Is this a chill week for you, Jared, or are you, like, calming down?
I just think I've been keeping it real this week. Outside of that right tackle position, which you guys just think Bill – you guys are like the guys on – I can get anybody off of Twitter to say, Bill Callahan can do it, and give the salute.
Okay, well, we will address that without you next segment. Thank you for the extra segment, Jared. Have a good show today,
just
too.
Just remember this. Players can get better.
This is true. Players can get better. Like your precious Dylan
Raiden. Don't allow for it. It's funny. He won't give a right tackle a 21st game. But he's giving Will Levis his franchise tag year. Well, at the most important position, you get 5 years. But at right tackle, you can't get 21 games.
On that note, thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared. Take care. No. We determine when it ends. Bye bye. Cut it.
No. The host of the show, not the backup host.
Hold on.
It's the guys.
Rex, show him who's boss.
I was gonna let you say your sentence, Jared. Now you're giving up. All right.
I'll say it.
Cut it. Damn it.
Oh my gosh. That's the best segment.
It's been great to be on with you. A backup host, just like Treylon Burks, Trey Avery, Malik Willis, and those guys.
You don't understand. Can't even differentiate backups.
Thank you, Jared.
See you guys.
We'll be back. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. I'm hoarse from sitting here and listening to Mommy and Daddy scream at each other.
You did a very poor job at the end of that segment. You take control of your show. The clock was ticking up.
Jared got...
You're going to be talked to by management about not getting out on time.
Well, that's true.
I've broadcasting. Heard from Chase about it already.
By the way, this is Robbie and Rexroad. I'm Joe Rexroad. That's Paul Kuharski. Nick Keyes is producing. He's getting married in 2 days.
Nick did have failed also.
We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BHAB membership where the buzz is always about great service. Also, I think I'm supposed to give away some tickets here, Nick, to see James Taylor at Bridgestone Arena Wednesday, June 12th.
Yeah.
Yes. The winner will be sent tickets on Monday. And how about caller, you call it?
Nine.
No, PK, there's not 9 phone lines.
I know, that's what I want you to have to cycle through.
No thanks. Caller 5.
Caller 5. James Taylor tickets.
Also, you can't tell me how to run the show because I'm the one that's been doing it for months.
He's throwing months in my face. His months of experience, Joe.
Yes. Hey, It's true. Tell him. Tell him, Keezer. Don't take no stuff off of PK. All right, I want to seriously get into this topic that we talked about Jared, because this is one of those. Someone asked me in the text line, do you hate Jared? I said, no, I love Jared, and also many of his takes are terrible, like that one. So here's the thing. This is and this is where he goes, and some people also do this. He's not the only one. Either it's all the way here or all the way here,
no
right?
Gray.
So Bill Callahan can make anybody great. Why not Andre Dillard? Well, we know Andre Dillard's bad. We have a lot more evidence to prove that Andre Dillard is bad. And now, granted, now, look, when Andre Dillard came over, now the first four, remember, it was, well, you know, it didn't work out, but this other, you know, he gets his job taken away. And
some
so
promise.
There's
some reason.
There's talent. There's promise. And remember, he was in Philly with Jeff Stoutland. Jeff Stoutland would be the other great O-line coach, renowned in the NFL. It's interesting. I covered Jeff Stoutland a long time ago, by the way. Great coach. Incredible coach. And Andre Dillard, he did not turn him into a good player, right? Like there are limitations. So neither of us are sitting here saying, or at least I won't speak for you, but I'm not saying Bill Callahan is just, he's here and just snap your fingers and everybody's going to be good.
No, but we didn't see Bill Callahan work with Andre Dillard either. Last year, if Bill Callahan was here, he would have called Jeff Stoutland. He would have gotten that review. Maybe he winds up here. Maybe he doesn't. But if Andre Dillard played for Bill Callahan, he would have played better. I don't know how much better. Probably not better enough, I don't think. I'm not saying Callahan fixes everything. But I am saying that Jared crosses himself up here. He hates Keith Carter. He hates Jason Hotelling. And he says they've got to get a big-time offensive line coach. Wanted Munchak. Wanted Callahan. Gets Callahan. And now the thing he wants Callahan to do is improve the players. But he's already dismissing some of the players. Well, Callahan's not dismissing those players.
Right. And that's
so
the thing.
I'm going to take Callahan over Stillman. And everybody should take Callahan over Stillman.
Right. That's what I think is being missed. Now, look, they were never going to address everything. So maybe, and you know how the draft goes, maybe they were going to, and then they were actually maybe going to take a right tackle somewhere. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, but if they take a right tackle somewhere, then they don't take.
Well, no, I don't understand.
Sweat.
Right.
Or somebody else. And then we're talking about the terrible defensive line.
Right. You're not.
Or we're talking about having no inside linebacker.
Yes. So you're not going to address everything. I do think that the state of the roster tells us that he, and look, we know that he has gone through all these guys with a fine tooth comb, right? And they've brought in some other guys too. But I think that the state of the roster tells us that he has given some sort of seal of approval to the idea that Nicholas Petitfrere can be a decent right tackle. I just, based on what we've seen from him, and that's where I don't understand what Jared is looking at, because I thought there were some very good games from Petitfrere. Well, some good games, solid games from him as a rookie. He had some bad ones, too. He had a particularly bad one in L.A. Later in his rookie year, he had some just bad plays. He wasn't perfect, but I didn't leave the rookie year of Nicholas Petitfrere thinking, oh, this was a big mistake. The gambling stuff, it's not an excuse at all, but it is part of, it has to be a factor last year, right? I mean, we saw him in practice. He wasn't getting reps. He was not getting, and I don't blame the Titans for doing it that way.
No, me neither.
You have to get ready for the season. He screwed himself. But because of that, you can kind of see the argument of, actually, there's a decent player in there.
Last year, it has to be found.
Last
year is a wash. I mean, Jared's had some years in his career that were a wash. So, you know, I would think he'd be a little understanding of that.
Yeah. Apart from Jared, yeah, I just don't see how.
And this does not make us huge NPF guys. I'm not a huge NPF guy. I'm a give NPF a chance guy. And maybe he does end up being bad.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, and
it certainly
and
could
Jared
be.
Will be wearing a crown and taking laps with the scepter all around. Because he will have been right.
Although
and
he does not want
Jared
all the takes to be remembered.
Jared is a big, right. And Jared is a big predictor. And you and I are more reporters. We're reporting the obvious. They're giving these guys a chance. And we're saying it's reasonable for them to give them a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a reasonable take. Now, is it got people running around with their hair on fire in Nashville on May 24th or whatever today is? No. But that's not what we're going for.
I mean, look, it's this is the time of year when you can have multiple days of screaming about a theoretical right tackle situation. I mean, that's right. I mean, this is where we are in the sports calendar. But yeah, look, I actually like if you. Like, I like to put these things in terms of, I will do a prediction here, or like you're forced to bet on something. You're forced to bet a decent sum of money. Nicholas Petitfrere will be, you know, let's make it a disaster at right tackle or a serviceable right tackle. I would pick serviceable.
I would pick serviceable. I'd say,
and if he is serviceable,
he's the weak link on a much improved offensive line. And if he's the worst player on an improved offensive line.
Right guard could be the worst player, too.
I'm fine with that.
You know, right guard is also not – I mean, the right side of the line is a concern.
Do you
There's
feel
no
better,
doubt.
Do you feel better – this is a good question. Do you feel better about the pool of right guard candidates, the three there, or do you feel better about the three at right tackle? I feel
okay,
better
so,
about the guard.
Okay, so hold on. So we're talking Brunskill, Radins,
and Charles.
And we're talking Petitfrere – Duncan
and Watts.
And Watts, the new guy. Yeah, I would say I feel better about guard. Now, again, Stilly may be right. He thinks Radins pops out and ends up – and that could be. I mean, I think Radins could get a look.
I mean, I don't understand his determination on that.
Well, what's interesting about that is that would suggest that Radins has improved as a player, by the way.
And right? I think Radins probably has improved as a player.
But Jared doesn't think that's possible with Petitfrere, but he thinks it's happening with Radins.
We should have hit that harder. The thing about Radins is he was drafted to be a tackle. He very strongly became a guard in the old regime that only played him at tackle out of absolute desperation. And the new regime comes in with Bill Callahan, who I'm giving a lot of sway, and very quickly says he's a guard. Doesn't say... You know what? We want to get to the point where he's in pads and we give him a chance and figure out what he is. They say he's a guard. That, to me, says we've already got three guys we're considering at right tackle, and Radins isn't one of them. If they're not considering Radins at right tackle over Watson, that tells me he's not going to wind up a tackle unless there's a major injury thing.
That's a good point.
Or unless right tackle is an absolute disaster. Yeah. And I don't see either of those scenarios panning out. How many guys do we need to tell us that Radins is a guard before we buy that Radins is a guard? I buy that Radins is a guard.
Yeah, that's a good point. Zach in Nashville says, John Ojukwu erasure at right tackle. You don't know why are we just ignoring him, PK? Make it four.
Yeah. Well, he's fourth.
Yeah, he's fourth.
And look, Bill Callahan went four deep at left tackle last year. So he raises an interesting point in that regard.
All right, we come back. We'll have, I don't know, the Rex rant. You got something?
Yeah.
What are we calling your rant? How about
Crankarski? Well, it used to be my primary complaint.
You're so Crankarski. Yeah, that which was, I love the song for that, by the way. We'll be back. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And sevens. So I thought Wiley looked pretty good. Now
sevens,
Wiley,
he calls it now. Sevens.
Sevens. Is that okay? Is that?
I don't know.
Is that all right?
I don't hear it called sevens much.
Is that mid to call it that? But he looked good.
Strange.
Thank you. It's not groovy per Boomer over here.
But this guy who wants to take shots at me regularly, give me the next one.
And there we go. We've got the Kaharski rant. We need to come up with a name. Crankarski? You're so Crankarski. How about that, huh?
No.
Okay. Rant away.
Does not work.
By the way, it's Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This is Paul Kuharski. That's how I say his name now, Paul Kuharski.
Yeah, the emphasis is very disturbing. The Department of Justice has sued Ticketmaster and Live Nation in an antitrust lawsuit. This must be broken up. But it must be broken up in a way. And look, I don't pretend to understand the intricacies of this. I want pain for Ticketmaster, and I want pain for Live Nation. And I think as sports fans, if there's one thing, and I'd like feedback on the text line and on Twitter about this. If there is one thing we can all agree on, and most sports fans are also music fans to some degree who go to concerts, the convenience fee and the fees that are tacked on to our tickets is probably the biggest scam, the biggest question, the most disheartening thing. We've all been on the sites where you see the number and then the number's not true. I have a ticket sponsor that's great, resale tickets, because the number's the number. And I know there are a couple apps like that. It is just a scam. And even I mentioned earlier, if you weren't listening, there was once a resolution where Ticketmaster got in trouble in a class action suit.
Right.
And what you won back was ridiculous. You got codes that gave you access to a certain number of seats for a certain number of concerts. Well, what if you didn't want to go to that concert? What if you weren't in, didn't get one of those 150 seats that were available? Then your codes went to waste and you didn't get anything back for your money. I don't know if we're going to get anything back at this, but the new system, this is going to create, if it works, opportunity for competition. And the competition's got to be good. And the competition has to include less greed. Look, I understand Taylor Swift and these artists deserve a ton of money. And the demand for the tickets is enormous. And if the tickets are expensive, they're expensive. Get the money to the artists. Springsteen did this, and lost a lot of his mojo with fans because his tickets were always very reasonable. And this time around, he said, you know what? I'm going to give my guys what they're worth, because the tickets in the secondary market get jacked up so high and we don't see that money. And I'd rather my guys get it than the scalpers get it. And he took a lot of grief for it, but I can understand that logic. And if I'm paying a big number, and I say this the same way, I'd rather the players get it. I'd rather the artists get it than damn Ticketmaster getting it.
I mean, Pearl Jam, had this fight 30 plus years ago, or about 30 years
ago. Yeah, and it's hard for artists to win this fight. And Taylor Swift, who fought Spotify effectively, who fought for her publishing rights effectively, hasn't taken on this fight. There's a reason artists haven't taken on this fight, because they can't win. Because Live Nation and Ticketmaster control the venues, and they control the ticketing, and they control every arm of it. So if you fight with them, you can't effectively perform. So applause to the DOJ. But my complaint here, my rant, is that Ticketmaster has gotten away with this for far too long, and nobody has any alternative. And I want them to bleed. And the CEO of Ticketmaster or Live Nation, I saw on the news yesterday saying he disputes all this. You are full of bleep. Their pockets are lined, and it is time for them to go down and go down bleeding. And I am sick and tired of it. I think America is sick and tired of it. I hope this thing happens. I hope it's rough on them. And I hope in the entrepreneurial spirit that we've seen, where things are created like Uber and all of this other stuff, that there's some kind of fine, some kind of new element to ticketing that helps us. And if it's expensive, again, so be it. Well, let's get it to the artist.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, wouldn't it be great if it was more like done through the artist, I'm going to show my ignorance on the entire industry, but like even through like, maybe recording like I don't know, like certain artists on a label, you know what I mean, like more artist driven ticketing.
Well, I mentioned the things that Taylor Swift's been creative on, so here's to Taylor Swift's people being creative and helping fill the vacuum, or whatever artist, some unknown artist coming up with a clever way to reinvent the industry. That's what I'm calling for. Out of my contempt for Live Nation and Ticketmaster, I want some reinvention of the industry
like you said,
makes sense for the artist, for the venue, but first and foremost, for the ticket buyer.
Right. And like competition should help, right?
Drive things down, make things more reasonable.
Yeah.
I want the elimination of things like convenience fees. build in whatever that is. But and here's what I saw a good discussion of yesterday. If you're buying four tickets, all right, if there's some kind of processing fee, which I think is overblown, it's you're processing those time. Four tickets
it's
once.
One time, exactly.
You're not processing them four times.
Right, yeah. I approve of this message. That's good. So we've got a lot of possible. Yeah, Paul Ball. I got Bitch Fit. I don't know that. That's
we're not using
really
that word.
Out.
We said.
Well, yeah, that's right. Piss Paul. Paul's pet peeves. Peeve Paul. I don't know.
Paul's primary complaint.
Paul's primary complaint. Okay, that's. I mean, that's sort of. That's borrowing. I mean, that's borrowing
brand.
For a previous show.
Paul, this was my brand
ooh,
name.
I like Paul Ball, B-A-W-L.
Yeah, nobody's going to get
Ball.
That. They're going to hear Paul
Ball.
Ball
and Paul
think
is balling.
And they're going to think, what the hell is that?
All right, we come back. We are going to speak with Teron Davenport, TD.
ESPN I got a couple good
Foundation.
Lines of questioning for TD.
There we go. Coming up next, Robbie Rexha, 102.5, 106.3 of the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I have been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.